Take your Bibles, if you will, the book of Matthew chapter 10, as we continue some thoughts from this first gospel of the New Testament. Title of our lesson today is, Go Rather to the Lost Sheep of Israel. Jesus said to his disciples, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Paul said to the church at Rome, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shall we stand as we begin reading from the book of Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Matthew 10, beginning at verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of diseases and all manners of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can gather together. What a privilege it is, what an honor it is to come before the God of the universe and to read the Holy Scriptures, to sing songs of praise, and Lord, even to give our tithes and offerings. Bless these that are here. Be with those who are grieving, those who have health issues, those, Lord, who have major decisions to make. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In Matthew 10, we have a list of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. These men were ambassadors for the cause of Christ. They went out in the name of Jesus. They had been taught and prepared to go with the message that the kingdom of heaven was at hand and that they needed to repent. To help, they would be given power to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and to cast out devils. The author Warren Wiersbe writes, quote, Jesus had many disciples, some of whom were merely hangers-on. From this large group of followers, Jesus selected a smaller group of 12 men, and these he called apostles, unquote. There are always those who hang on when it's popular. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that I am a fair-weather fan when it comes to the Detroit Pistons. I can tell you that last season, I did not see 1 minute of one game. To me, there was no need. Now, you say, well, what about the Detroit Lions? Enough said. But there are those who go to things that are really popular. And then when the popularity falls away or it becomes difficult, they leave. The word apostle comes from the Greek word apostello. I probably should ask Pastor Stephen if I said that anywhere near correct, but I know he doesn't want to correct his boss in front of you, so I won't. But this means to send forth with a commission, to send forth. Today, no one can claim to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. We can be a follower of Jesus Christ. We can be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But we are not apostles of Jesus Christ. To be an apostle of Jesus Christ, one had to be called and chosen by the Lord himself and must have seen the risen Savior. The special power and authority given to the 12 apostles were part of their official credentials. Kind of like a business card. It was saying, see what I can do, not in my name, but in the name of Jesus Christ. They were able to heal all manner of diseases and sicknesses. They were able to cleanse the leper. Aren't you glad that we have come a long way from what medicine was 100 years ago? How many of you remember when Mother put Mercurochrome on you? Yes. You know what I noticed, all you that raised your hands? You were older. Yes. Aren't you glad for penicillin? You know, we say, what, aren't there faith healers today? No. Jesus Christ can heal. But I'll be honest with you. What would happen if I could come down and I could touch your body where it hurts and you would be healed? Wouldn't you say that was great? And some of you right now, you wish I could do that, right? You wish I could come down and touch your tooth, Rudy. Yes. But the fact of the matter is, I'd get the big head. In fact, I would go to where I could get the most money. See, God has not given any of us that power. He gave the apostles that power. And it was like a card that said, hey, I represent Christ. What has he given us? Well, he's given us the full Bible. And we can take the word of God and we can proclaim the truth. May I say this? The Lord is more concerned about your spiritual health than your physical health. Now, he is concerned about your physical health. But he is much more concerned about your spiritual health. Let me give you an illustration. Do you remember the story where there were 10 lepers? And Jesus healed the 10 lepers? How many came back and thanked him? One. What did he say about the one? That this one was prepared to meet his maker. The others had simply been healed physically. But the fact of the matter is the Lord has given us doctors who can do amazing things. But are they able to heal everyone? No. You know how I know they can't heal everyone? Because I have a dad who has dementia. Who asked me on Thursday what was his address. That if you take a picture of and look at the picture that Jim took of a recent letter that Dad wrote, you'd find that Dad put down the wrong address and he didn't spell the street right. I know that the Lord loves my dad. And I know my dad is saved. But it is not an easy time now. It's a hard time. Could God heal him? Sure. He could heal him right now. He's been moved to a place over here on Garfield. And my dad asked me, he goes, how far is it from your house? See, my dad thinks I live at 8 Mile. Do I live at 8 Mile? No. I wish he could be healed. And he will be. There's a better day coming. But when Jesus sent forth these 12 disciples, these 12 apostles, and they were able to heal, do you think people took notice? The fact of the matter is, he gave them this ability so that they would have a way to propagate the Word of God. But when the Word of God was completed, and the last period was made in the book of Revelation, and the Word of God was in print for us, this is what we have today. This is His power, and this is what we need to preach and proclaim today. They were able to heal. They were able to cleanse. They were able to cast out demons, and they were able to raise the dead. These four ministries paralleled the miracles that Jesus performed in Matthew 8 and 9. Note, the commission to these 12 men is not our commission today. They were told to go to the people of Israel. Unfortunately, the nation on the whole rejected both Jesus Christ and his ambassadors. Let's read verses 9 and 10. 9 and 10. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. The apostles were to depend on the hospitality of others as they ministered from town to town. In those days, for a town to refuse a guest was a breach of etiquette. And Jesus told them to stay only with those that were worthy, to those that were like-minded, verse 11. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. Now, you're a Baptist preacher. You're standing here on Sunday morning, and you say to those that are worthy, you will stay. Can you see where I'm going with this? Hello? Yeah. What am I going to say? Are you worthy? When you go to a city and to a town, find those who are worthy and stay with them. They will put you up. They will feed you. They will take care of whatever needs you have. If you need new shoes, they will provide it. If you need another coat, they'll take care of it. They are going to provide what is necessary. And I ask you again, are you worthy? They say, Pastor Paul, how can that happen? When's our next mission conference? March 2020. Do you like the ring of that? 2020. We're going to have missionaries are here. Are you worthy to house one of them? Boy, it's quiet in here. Do you think Don and I were born worthy to house missionaries? Do you think it was nerve-wracking the first time we did it? Do you think it's nerve-wracking now? Yes. You know what one of my greatest possessions is in my house? We have a tablecloth. And we have the signatures of those missionaries who have spent the night with us, who have dined with us. And every time we take it out and we ask another missionary to sign it, they look at it and they say, wow. You know, the fact of the matter, it's not for our honor and glory that we do this, but we do it for our Lord. Can you do it? Boy, it's quiet in here. Yes. You know, there are times in which the Lord wants us to come out of our comfort zone. You know how I know He wants us to come out of our comfort zone? Because I come out of my comfort zone every Sunday morning. This isn't where I'm comfortable. Now, some of you, you'd be far better qualified to be up here and do this. Please don't say amen. But Jesus told them to go to those that were worthy, to those that were like-minded. The disciples were not to compromise. If a town rejected their words, they were to warn the people and depart and to shake off the dust as an act of judgment to them. Let's begin reading at verse 13. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Well, we know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, don't we? They were destroyed. Their wickedness had reached up to heaven, and the Lord said, I'm going to bring judgment, and He destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities, and of the plains. There were actually more than just the two. And yet He says that in the judgment, it'll be better for them. Well, why will it be better for them than it will be for these cities that were told of Jesus Christ? Because Sodom and Gomorrah were not told of Jesus. They were not told of His saving grace. But these new cities, the cities there in Israel, they were being told of the Messiah. They were being told of the one who had come to save. And if you reject the Savior, John 3 tells us, the wrath of God shall be upon you. You know, we live in America, and I tell you what, we have the gospel of Christ aplenty. We have the Bibles available. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have at least four Bibles? You have at least four Bibles. Yeah, at least four. Some of you have five, six, seven. Some of you have Bibles since you were 4 years old because you don't know what to do with them. You know, the American flag, when you don't use it anymore, what do you do with it? You burn it. You don't bury it. You burn it. What do you do with your Bible? Well, it's hard to know what to do with it, so you collect them, right? But churches are meeting today. Every year, twice a year, the name of Christ is proclaimed at the Easter time, Resurrection Sunday, at Christmas. It's out there in America. And if that's not enough, there's always those who are trying to stop us. And so they say they want to be free of religion. Who do they really want to be free of? The Christianity. There'll be no excuse to Americans. None whatsoever. They won't be able to stand before God and say, well, I didn't know. Yeah, it's out there. But Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't even know about the Lord Jehovah at all. No. And so there was this judgment. If a house, a city, a people refused the message of Christ, they would be judged. We are not told how long this evangelistic campaign lasted. According to Matthew 11:1, Jesus sent out the 12 in pairs to the cities, towns, and villages of Judea. And He Himself departed thence to teach and preach in other cities. So there would have been six pairs. Did you notice when we were reading the list of the apostles, that they were in pairs. Let's read it again. Verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. Is that pair number one? Yes. Notice. James, the son of Alphaeus, and John, his brother. Is that pair number two? Verse 3. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebeus, whose surname is Thaddeus. And then pair number six, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot. Six pairs. And they were sent out to go out and do the ministry. Do you think they were nervous? What was Peter by trade? He was a fisherman, right? Did he go to the University of Judea? Do you even think he went to a high school? Do you think he was a gifted speaker? He was a loud speaker and boisterous. But do you think that Peter was a person that could go out and proclaim the cause of Christ? Well, he'd been taught how to do it. And so these different people were sent out. Matthew was a tax collector. He probably was educated. But then you have Simon the Canaanite. He's also known as Simon the Zealot. And some believe that he was one that leaned towards the Roman government and approved of it. You know what? No, that was not right. Simon the Zealot would be one that was against the Roman government. Oh, you were going to correct me after that service, weren't you? Yeah. I'm glad I got that right. Whoa, he was one that was anti-Rome, which means that Matthew and Simon the Zealot probably were not close friends. But we find that they went out in pairs. Later, the disciples would return and report what had happened. So it brings us to the conclusion. While we may learn from the spiritual principles recorded here, we should not apply these instructions to our lives, because their commission was to go to Judea and the cities thereof, and we are to go to the uttermost part of the world. Where to go? I hope you take time to read some of the mission letters that we post over here. I hope you take time to read. And up there now we have letters from our missionary in Spain, and we have letters from different places around the world. Laos, Indonesia, New Zealand, the Philippines. We have one in Africa and Kenya. And they're there, and they're for you to read, and it gives you a better idea how to pray. Pray for these who have gone in your name, who are gone, who have gone so that they can proclaim Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Each of the Gospels portrays Christ in a certain way. And Matthew portrays him as the king. The king has come. The king has suffered, the king has died, the king has risen from the dead. Now he offers his salvation to all who will believe. It is the greatest decision you will ever make. It's the greatest decision. It's more important than that university that you will attend, than that job that you will work, that person that you will marry, the children that you will have. It is the greatest decision you'll ever make, what you will do with Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He has given him to us as a gift. But gifts are nice, right? But you have to receive it. You have to receive it. Verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Yes, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Jesus took these 12 men and literally shook the world. And it is our job to continue the ministry of telling others of Jesus Christ, of the need, and the fact of the matter, and how we are to live. Shall we stand together? 401 is our song of invitation, "Only Trust Him." Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you come to that point where you did not just believe in your head that there was a Christ, but in your heart that you needed a Savior? Have you come before him and have you prayed, saying, "Lord, forgive me. Be my Savior"? Have you done that? If you haven't, we'd love to give you the opportunity to do it this morning. And if you have accepted the Lord as your Savior, are you worthy of that name, believer or Christian? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, your hand on this invitation time. May the Spirit move. May hearts be touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.